Well, welcome. Jesus says all are welcome. We say all are welcome. So you must be welcome. Let us rest in the arms of God during this time and this place. And let us remember and honor Memorial Day. For we must stop often to remember all those who gave their lives for freedom. Today we come and remember with deepest gratitude in our hearts for all the gifts given to us each day. Among them are freedom of worship and freedom of speech, and freedom to spend time with our families and with loved ones and good friends, and laughter and the work that we choose to do. And today we remember those that laid their lives down in the service of their country. Great numbers of enlisted and officers, men and women, long lived and young, single and married. Those who served and those who continue to serve their country in the Army, the Navy, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard, Merchant Marines, and National Guard. May we remember the great courage of many. Let us remember the selfless service of all. We remember the selfless sacrifice for the freedom of others, known and unknown. We remember the millions of Americans who gave so generously of their life and for their great sacrifice of their families. And we remember the faith of our ancestors in God's goodness and how in reverence and in hope and in confidence they committed themselves completely and gave themselves wholly to that which they believed to be just and good and true. Now, will those of you who have family members who have served and given their lives of the ultimate sacrifice, will you stand? Is there anyone here who has had someone who gave their life in the service of their country? Okay. Let us applaud those that have given us this great freedom and this great country. Are there any who have served your country or continue to serve your country? Will you please stand? God bless you, and thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, I invite you to look at the back of your bulletin to discover some ways to participate in fellowship, ministries, or mission of the church, which is an extension of our worship of God here this morning. And I lift up a few of them. Someone said to me that I should lift up the community meal at 5 p.m. and serving until 6:30 on every Wednesday, that I should lift that up as an opportunity for all of us to be there also, to share meal, fellowship, and to have conversation with those that are there. And I was scolded by Steve Stewart. I don't know who he is, but he just said, you know, we need to encourage people to go and be there among our neighbors. Remember, tomorrow the church office will be closed in honor of Memorial Day, and I'm taking some time off this week, so we have elders available. We will have you may call the office. If you need to get a hold of me, you can always use my cell phone. Allie, do you want to say anything? Okay. And Dana is not here. Is that correct? All right. Let me just tell you what I know of Friday evening. It was a wonderful time. It was our first attempt at Vacation Bible School in a different way. It was in combination with Strawberries on the Square, and so we called it Jam with Tab. I thought maybe we would break up the days because it gets kind of long if you do 3, 4, 5 days in a row for those who volunteer and also for children. They sort of, the numbers kind of dwindle towards the end. So I suggested that we do like 3 Saturdays or do something like that. And then Allie, with her creative mind, said, well, why don't we combine it with activities down on the square? So that's what we're doing. We had, you see over here, we had camping, and we did lots of activities around the theme and the story. I'm the storyteller, and I told the story of the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish. The miracle of Jesus of feeding the 5,000. And we had wonderful kids. There were 31 total that I know of. I know that we had, were there more than that? Do you know? Okay. And that included middle schoolers and teens who helped the younger ones. And so it was a lot of fun. And we met in here to begin with, and Dana and Jim kind of got us all going with singing different songs that were about what we were studying. And the kids had a great time. If you'll look up, you'll see some of the balloons. And if anyone wants to raise their hand, volunteer to crawl up there and get those, or other than that, we'll just have to wait till they come down on their own. But they also went to crafts, and they went downstairs for snacks, and they went outside. Jeremy and others had games. And so we had a great time from 4 to 6, and then families came, and they went on downtown to Strawberry Fest. Now, the other thing is, this next time will be June 24th, 4 to 6. So if you have family, friends, anyone who has children between the ages of 4 and 10, please have them come. This theme will be pig out because it's smoke. Is it smoke? Smoke on the square. So we're going to have pig out with Tab. And then there's one in August, and that will be about the... it's a bluegrass festival, so we're going to have a festival of the tabernacles. So, just to let you know what comes in the future, if you want to volunteer in any aspect of it, please do that. But it was a great start, and we enjoyed it, and I know the kids did also. We will make s'mores after worship today, so just to let you know. Anything else? Oh, there was a lock-in for the teens, too, after. Do you know how many teens were in the lock-in?
I think there was 18.
18 teenagers. And we thank Jim and Dana, who were up all night long with them. And so we thank all of you for participating. Let's give a round of applause for that. Are there any other announcements? Yes. Oh, sign-up sheet. This is very important. And I have fallen down on the job. Right here is a sign-up sheet because the choir has a time of not singing during the summer. We're going to have special music. So if you have a gift of instrumental, a gift of music, of singing, I can't do either, but I could try. But you could sign up, and if there's a group of you that wants to sing together, or just one of you, or you want to play an instrument, please sign up, because we're going to fill in these slots so that we have music in our worship of God. Is that all I need to say? Okay, that's it. All right. Any others? Okay, if you will stand, and we will say our call to worship of God.
Morning.
Morning.
If you get a second today, please take time to sign the attendance books and pass them down the row. Grace and peace.
I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come?
My help comes from the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
The Lord is your keeper. The Lord will keep your life.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore.
Let's continue worship by singing number 560.
Now let us greet your neighbors with warmth and great hospitality. Do you remember that in the movie? Do you remember that played in a movie? Robert Mitchum. It's a scary movie.
What was
You're too young to remember that. Leaning on the Everlasting. The name of the movie, I don't remember it.
Our scripture reading today comes from Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4. God told Abram, "Leave your country, your family, and your father's home for a land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation and bless you. I'll make you famous, and you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I'll curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left just as God said, and Lot left with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran.
And whenever we put our faith in Jesus, we join the family of Abraham.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you, Tim, for leading us and starting us off. We come into a time where we're going to go to our Lord in prayer. We gather together and we share our joys so that they might be multiplied. And we share our sorrows and our worries and our concerns among our brothers and sisters in Christ so that they might be divided and the weight of them not be so heavy. And so I lift up some that I've already received. And the first one is Norval. If you remember, fell, broke his hip, and then he had a little heart problem, and then he'd been in rehabilitation, and then he's back at rehabilitation, and he's doing very, very well. And so they thank us for Margaret, and he thank us for our prayers, and we continue to pray for Norval and Margaret, and we lift them up to the Lord, and we pray, O Lord, hear our praise and hear our prayer. We lift up anyone to our precious Lord who is in pain of body, mind, and spirit, and ask that our all-knowing God provide what they need, and those that watch and wait and hope and love them, we pray patience and consideration for the time of healing. And so we lift them up to the Lord and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Dave shared this morning that Cheryl Seaver had eye surgery this last week and that she's doing well, but we lift her up to the Lord for healing, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Seavers have a dear friend, Ruth Hotstetler, that we've prayed for before, and she has a reoccurrence of her leukemia. And so we pray that her treatment be successful, that her spirit be lifted, and that she can feel the prayers that surround her. And we lift her up to the Lord and the Seavers and all who love and walk this time with her. And we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. We give monumental prayers of thanksgiving and praise for the men, women, and youth. They gave many, many, many hours and gifts of talent and skill to celebrate and honor Reverend Paula Joanne Barley Nybert for her ordination to Christian ministry. And thanks be to God for the strength and selfless acts of service in God's name for the sacrament of celebrated ordination here in this church. And we give thanks. And I also want to add to that, Paula will accept a call to a church, and her family most certainly will move, and they will be uprooted. And so we want to pray for settling. We want to pray that it's all that they need it to be, and we want to continue to pray for their success and their happiness and their joy in serving God together as a family. So we put all of that in a prayer to God, and we lift it to the Lord, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. May we hold in prayer the little ones throughout the globe who fight for life. Some because they are in a place of violence, some because they're in a place of hunger, some natural disasters such as Paris, where lightning struck and several children now hang in the balance, their lives hang in the balance. And so, and for all children who have storms within, and natural storms that surround them. And so we pray for the children of the world, and we lift them to the Lord, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for Peggy Paris. She's going on a mission trip again to Honduras. The last time there were 800 people, and only two people, doctors and a nurse and Peggy, to provide medical care for them. And so I think more are going this time, but let's pray for safety. Let's pray for a mission that is much blessed by God and safe journey back down and back back home. And so we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Are there any others that you would like to lift up in prayer? Yes, Tim.
Whiteland takes their finals this week.
Okay. All right.
Their students, my students.
Absolutely. Whiteland takes their finals this week. All of us know what a nerve-wracking, anxiety-producing time that is. And for teachers as well as students and administrators. And so we just ask a blanket of blessing on that whole week, and may they be able to do all that they have been taught and remember what they need. And so we lift them up to the Lord and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Anything else? Anyone else? Yes. And did you say ALS? Okay. Judd has a friend who has just been diagnosed with ALS and has children and is 35 years old. I provided a lot of counseling and prayers with the ALS population who came to hospice for respite. They would come for the caregiver to have rest. And it is a heart-wrenching thing to, and particularly for anyone, let alone to be so young and have responsibilities like that. So tell me his name again.
Andy.
Andy Nichols. We lift Andy up in prayer and his family, his spouse and his children and friends who are part of all of that means with that diagnosis. And so we lift them up to the Lord. For courage and for time of being able to wait and wonder and anything else that they need. And so we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Any others? All right. Let's bow our hearts before our Lord. Gracious and holy God, today is a day of remembering. We gather here this morning with hearts full of memories of family and friends or strangers who gave their lives for freedom throughout the world. We remember the great courage. We remember the selfless service of all. We remember the sacrifice of soldiers and their families. We remember and give thanks for the valiant commitment to those in need, by those made brave by you, O precious Lord. One who reminds us, we come with deepest thanksgiving. Help us to receive these gifts of sacrificed life by glorifying you. God of grace, may our hearts be stirred to remember all of your mercies, which we receive through people, places, and holy happenings, all showing us your love toward each one of us. Remind us that your call to devotion is not to the idols of money, politics, or the accumulation of more and more stuff, but devotion to you, who is our life, our breath, and all things good and beautiful. When we are empty, Lord, remind us of today. Remind us of the ultimate love of other, the sacrifice of lives given in military service to country and all that means. Now we pray and ask for your blessings. Bless all children and teens that struggle to survive, let alone flourish. Bless all those that live in broken relationships. Bless all those that suffer with the darkness of depression. Bless all those that live with chronic illness. Bless all those who mourn, especially on days like today. Bless all those that were hurt, died, or have lost people and things precious to them from tornadoes and flooding. And may the blessing from our worship of you, O Lord, and prayers to you, listening God, prepare us to give away ourselves for the good of others. Now we pray the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May we know God's desire well enough to trust and to make choices with the giving and using of our tithes and offerings. And may we discern through prayer with one another and with God, God's will and purpose for our congregation and for each one who loves his name.
Go to church 'cause your mama says to. Visit grandpa every chance that you can. It won't be a waste of time. Always stay humble and kind. Hold the door, say please, say thank you. Don't steal, don't cheat, and don't lie. I know you got mountains to climb, but always stay humble and kind. When the dreams you're dreaming come to you, when the work you put in is realized, let yourself feel the pride, but always stay humble and kind. Don't expect a free ride from no one. Don't hold a grudge or a chip, and here's why. Bitterness keeps you from flying. Always stay humble and kind. Know the difference between sleeping with someone and sleeping with someone you love. I love you ain't no pickup line, so always stay humble and kind. Hold the door, say please, say thank you. Don't steal, don't cheat, and don't lie. I know you got mountains to climb, but always stay humble and kind. When the dreams you're dreaming come to you, when the work you put in is realized, let yourself feel the pride, but always stay humble and kind. When it's hot, eat a root beer popsicle. Shut off the AC and roll the windows down. Let that summer sun shine. Always stay humble and kind. Don't take for granted the love this life gives you. When you get where you're going, don't forget, turn back around. Help the next one in line. Always stay humble and kind.
Father God, we come before you with open hearts and hands ready to receive and to give. We seek to be a blessing to others through words and actions of love. Through this offering, may we all experience the love of our Creator, the grace of our Savior, and the abiding Holy Spirit. Amen.
Now, before they run out, we need to applaud them for a great season of singing and providing us with beautiful sacred music. And so we thank them very, very much. And know that they will be back in full force in the fall. So we'll take a big, deep breath and breathe in the breath of God and breathe out all distraction, everything that burdens your heart, so that you can be present here and not necessarily hear my words, but hear the words and message of God. And so let's go to God in prayer and ask blessings on this message. Sacred and holy God, we come before the throne of grace and we bow down and we lay down all burden. And we ask that you fill us with your Spirit so that our ears may hear and our hearts and minds may be open to the message that you will provide. May my words and all that I say and do during this time float away, but may whatever it is that others need to hear, that rest and reside in their hearts and souls, so that they may, in the living of their days, know they've been in the presence of you, our God. It is in the sweet and holy name of Jesus the Christ that we pray and ask these things. Amen. The magnificent story of the beginning of creation revealed God's creativity, his majesty, and especially his love. Yet the most humbling, puzzling, awe-inspiring act took place when God breathed the breath of life into humanity. God, the Creator, completed his masterpiece by creating man and woman. God breathed life and spirit into his special handiwork. Though sin entered the world, God also provided for redemption from sin. But here is the blessing and the burden in our text this morning for humanity. God created people with the freedom to choose or reject him. And when God's creation chose to rebel, God still loved them. God revealed his plan for salvation. In the beginning, he placed one scoop of clay upon another until a form lay lifeless on the ground. The Creator reached inside of himself and removed something yet unseen. It was called choice. The seed of choice, lovely or dark, depending on the picking. You see, we can choose not to love. But if we choose love of God and other, there is a spontaneous love that comes without bidding and a voluntary devotion. But it would have been so much easier if we hadn't been given the seed of choice. It would have been easier all the way around. But hear this. To remove the choice is to remove precious, lovely, freely given, most desired by our Creator, authentic love. I shared with the first service that Steve and I do not require our children, our grown children, or our grandchildren to come to our house. We invite them for holidays and holy days and other events. But if they choose to go and be with their friends or their in-laws, that's okay too. For I think we have tried to live a little bit like God in that we want people to freely choose to be with us. And when that happens, it is a great day. It is a great day. We don't want them to come because of an obligation. We want them to come because they want to be there and they love us. Not that they don't love us if they don't come. So we move forward in time from this creation of choice within each human being. Here this morning we find our man and woman of choice, Abram and Sarai. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. Wow. At 75 years of age, this couple were told by God to go, and they went. Now, we could spend the next 12 months discussing and studying and trying to understand just these first verses. We all know that there are consequences to any action that we take. What we do and choose can set into motion a series of events that may continue long after we're gone. Unfortunately, when making choices, many think only of the immediate consequences and sometimes believing that the consequences will only be ours. I share the story of our son when he was 16. He loves it when I tell this story. And he wanted a motorcycle. And I was at Wishard, Eskenazi now, and I was seeing all of these young guys coming in during the spring, is when he was asking for it, and they were losing limbs, losing life, and they were having horrible, horrible experiences in the ICUs. And so I have this vision. He has the vision of riding free, and I have the vision of him being in the hospital or worse. And so I said, no, that's not going to work for me. Well, that's the way we make decisions sometimes, regardless of age. Sometimes we think we are so insignificant in the world that whatever we decide will not impact anyone else around us. In fact, what our son said to us is, don't worry. If I get hurt really bad, you can just put me in a nursing home. Well, yes, that's the kind of mom I am. Just put you in a nursing home, forget about you. Occasionally, maybe on your birthday, I'll come by. But I really think that is the insignificance that we think we have in this world. And so we make those choices, and we think we are independent in that choice. God promised Abram that many nations would come from his descendants. God said he would bless him and make his name great so that he would be a blessing. Abram, believing God, obediently moved to an unknown land. Abram and Sarai had one function in God's plan, to be a blessing to the families of the ground. We would say earth now. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to sincerely think about this. Let's say you're sitting at home tonight and you're praying and you have a connection, a deep connection with God, and all of a sudden God says, whatever your name is, Evie, you and Steve need to leave everything. Leave Franklin, leave Martinsville, leave all your family, all your friends, everything you own, and go. Where do you want us to go? I'll tell you. Well, just you're going to leave and go to another country. What country? Just go. How many of us at 75 years of age or any age would say, okay, I have great faith. I have great believing in God. I trust God. I'm going. Leaving everything that you know and love behind. Going to a country that is not yours. What must that have felt like? Well, in the Old Testament, the First Testament, personal relationship with God meant separation. It revealed that you were trusting God. So if you were told to separate from family or friends, or it was a sign, a symbol that you trusted God to that degree. Abram, later called Abraham, by his choice and willingness to separate from his country and from his family, he proves his trust in the Lord. I once read, "Faith never knows where it is being called, but it loves and knows the one who is leading." End of quote. It is a life of faith, not of mind and reason, but a life of knowing who chooses us to go and gives us the choice to each one of us to go or to stay, to say yes to God or to say no to God. Abram had a choice to make. His choice was between setting out with part of his family and belongings for places unknown or staying in the comfort and pleasure of his very rich life. So Abram and Sarah made a choice, and they went. This is how we are introduced to this patriarch, the leader of all human families in three faith traditions: Christianity, Judeo-Christian, and Muslims. So there are three. We actually know little about this man. We know nothing of his history, his credentials, or his qualifications. Was he a righteous man like Noah? We are not told. Why would God call him? Well, the rabbis in ancient writings credited Abram with being the first in his culture, first in his family, to see the falseness of idols and to worship the one true God only. We may want to know his previous self, but in Genesis itself, it is completely uninterested in Abram's previous character and experiences. In other words, the focus of the scripture is not who Abram was, but who he will become. We know the ways of God through our experience of God today, and in our faith traditions, our congregations, in our own callings, and in the callings of others, of both laity and ordained clergy, that is how we know God. We see that God does not always call those with the best credentials or the most stellar and shining backgrounds. We see again and again that a faithful response to God's leading results in a blessing of gifts and talents, of learned and acquired skill sets sufficient for the task to which an individual is called. God calls, and Abraham responds faithfully. The author of Hebrews writes that because Abram considers the maker of the promise to be the keeper of the promises, he responds faithfully and receives the power to become a great nation. Now, for a moment, let me go to the name of the city, Haran. Haran, from which Abram is called, it means highway or crossroads. And Abram's faithful response is the starting point of not only Israel's history, but all three faith traditions. This text could be used to explore our own congregation, as well as the faithful response of each one of us when God calls. Such searching may lead to naming some unique crossroads faced by our congregation and maybe the threshold of a new starting point in the ministry of our church. Our own experience and witness of Scripture should tell us what the one who calls is the one who equips, as it is almost a cliche now, that God calls the ones that God calls, he equips, doesn't he? He doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. He leads us. The one who equips always leads the called to a more complete expression of who they were created to be. A faithful response is the encircling of what God has already called into being, a newness of being, and the release from what is known for what is promised. Frightening sometimes. But a faithful response is neither forced or coerced, but a step freely taken toward choice. So Abram was born into a new life, a new reality that God called into being. Every new birth is a blessing. Every new birth is a blessing, and every blessing holds the possibility of newness of life. Abram had to decide between the security of what he already had and the uncertainty of traveling under God's direction. He gave up his identity through giving up his family, his security through financial stability, and the known day-to-day living, and the protection of knowing the people around him. I want you to envision you're leaving Franklin today and taking nothing with you and not knowing exactly where you are going to go. The courage and the faith that that took. In other words, a great risk was taken through his choice for he and Sarai. There is a cost when we choose God's ways, but we are richly blessed for it. But if there is a risk in the command to go, emphasizing what Abram put at risk, then the blessing is in the one he trusts and is what reassures him he is blessed. One of the blessed abilities that God and Abram received and Sarai received as a barren couple was to be fertile, was to be fruitful, not to have babies of their own, but to touch the rest of humanity, to be the blessing that becomes a blessing to us all. Some lessons for living of our days from our story of Abram and Sarai. God desires dependence on God and trust of God and faith in God, not faith in our ability to please him. Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord declared him righteous because of his faith. We read that in Genesis 15:6. And Abram and Sarai regularly built altars to God as they traveled through foreign lands, places that they didn't know, people who were idol worshipers, who worshipped many spirits. And they needed to build those altars, not an altar of sacrifice of dead animals, but an altar that reminded them who and whose they were. They did it for prayer and worship of God and as reminders of God's promise to them. Abram and Sarai could not have spiritually survived the travels in strange places without regularly renewing their love and loyalty to God, and we are no different than that. Building altars helped Abram and Sarai remember that God was at the center of their lives. For them, altars symbolized holy communion with God, celebrating and honoring encounters with God. They were made of rocks, and they would pile them up, and they would bow, and they would pray to God, and they would give thanks to God. In that time, those things stayed for centuries sometimes. And when pilgrims would come by, they would see it, and they would honor it, regardless of whether they believed in the same way. For us, it reminds us that regular worship of God and praying to God helps us remember what God desires and motivates us to trust and obey him. It spiritually feeds blessing for us. It grants us vitality and drive to create with God through God-given curiosity and creativity and invention and wholeness in outcome. We are blessed by God in this congregation with a tremendous amount of love and compassion and hospitality and hope and the tender, loving care of this beautiful building. It is a place to worship our Lord by those here now and those who have been and those who will come. Within each of us, God has placed a divine seed, a seed of God's self. And the one who has chosen to love created those who could love in return. Let us praise God for the giving us the ability to serve and love him in purpose. Let us thank God for his gifts of freedom and creativity. Set aside some time today for creative praise. Let us make that choice today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. God says, go where I send you. If you are experiencing an urge to come forward, you feel the Spirit of God urging you to come forward, we will open our arms and our hearts to anyone who would like to unite with us in following Jesus Christ. And we will love you, and we will walk alongside of you, and we will study and worship God here in this place. We prepare our hearts of invitation by singing hymn 545, and let's only sing verse 1. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. Stand, please. You may be seated. When Abram and Sarai went to new places along their mission, they reminded themselves of God's blessing and wanted to give thanks for their blessings. They built altars of praise and closeness to God. As Christians, followers of Christ, we need that holy communion, that sacred connection to God in Jesus that we experience here at the table of sacrifice, mercy, and especially love. Jesus says, I gave my life willingly for you. I will do it over and over again, each and every time that you suffer and that you ask for forgiveness. So here we celebrate at the table of forgiveness, the meal of mercy. Let us prepare our hearts by singing verse 1 of Trust and Obey.
We thank you for this opportunity to come to your table, a table of remembrance on this Memorial Day weekend. We thank you for all of those who have and are willing to give of their lives and to serve, that we might be free and be able to come to your house. And yet we must also pause and remember that you made the choice to send your Son into the world, and he gave his life upon the cross, that we too can be free of sin. We thank you for your love that is always present, the Alpha, the Omega. We ask thy blessing upon this loaf, which represents his broken body. May it nourish us and bring our spirit closer to you. We ask in his name. Amen.
Dear Lord, on this Memorial Day weekend, as we honor and thank you for the men and women who died protecting our country, we ask your protection for all serving today. Be with our veterans. May they all get the honor, care, and respect they so deserve. Because of their bloodshed and sacrifices, we can worship in your house together and share this wine representing your son's shed blood. May there be peace on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us remember that on the night that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, was betrayed, he gathered his disciples together. He took the bread, he gave thanks for it. He broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in like manner, he took the cup and he blessed it. He said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." For as often as you drink of the cup and eat of the bread, you proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. As we get ready to leave sanctuary and to go out into the world, may you remember that you have a choice. You have many choices because God planted that within you. But really, do we have a choice? Because we love him so much. If he calls, we'll go. It doesn't mean that we won't fear, but we will trust him. So if you'll stand, we will sing verse 1 of Because He Lives, 562, and then I will bless you if you will allow me to. God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Now, if you will bow your heads into your hearts, I will bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May you go from this sanctuary in holy peace. May you trust God enough and know God well enough that when he calls, you make the choice to go where he sends you. May the presence of Jesus be so strong in your daily life that you feel his comfort in your darkest hour and his joy in your greatest happiness. And may you know that you have been blessed to be a blessing in this world, now and beyond this time and place. And when God whispers your call, may you believe you will never be too old or too young or too weary to choose to serve God. Be blessed and know that you are well loved. Go in peace.